If we have to believe global statistics, even as we were entering this church this morning, humanity, the world population, passes another milestone. 7 billion of us. 7 billion across the world. Suffering, destruction, and death beyond our control. Yet, we still gather this morning without any despair. Why? It is our faith that makes us whole. Today, our worship centers on God's grace. How can you really define the word grace? Well, grace is unearned love, no matter what is happening in my life. I sense the presence of God who grounds me. He holds the corners of this earth in His hands and all that happens in between. God is aware. God stoops down to make me great because He's giving me a glimpse of grace. Overwhelming the statistics. Overwhelming the message of God's grace. Why don't we just take a few quiet moments to ponder, silent prayer before our morning prayer. And now we are before You, loving Creator. We are grateful recipients of the many blessings You have bestowed upon us. You continue to surprise us and catch us off guard. Just when we think that we have figured out who You are and what You want, You come to us in new and surprising ways, revealing secrets hidden from us before. You catch us unawares. Sometimes we even miss an encounter with You because we fail to recognize Your presence in our midst. God of mystery, we pray that You would keep us open and attentive to the gift of Your Spirit. May we recognize You in the face of every stranger. And wherever we are, help us to welcome each person we meet with care and kindness. For we never know when we may be welcoming You. Grant that we may not turn You away, unaware of the many diverse ways You choose to reveal Yourself to us. You call us to go out into the vineyards of the world, to labor in Your fields, and to work for the long anticipated coming of Your kingdom. You call us to listen and to respond to every beckoning of Your Spirit. You call us to open ourselves to Your healing that we might in turn offer ourselves in service to others. You call us as ordinary people to tap abilities and gifts we never knew we had and to use those gifts in a hurting world. Hear us now, as we identify with those who are sick, those who are outcasts, those who are confused, as we hold them in our hearts and prayers. And in praying so, O God, we also pray, release in us healing possibilities we never knew existed. And may we be fruitful laborers in the vineyards of this world. This is our prayer. This is our plea. We do so in the name of Jesus Christ, our precious Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading is from Psalm 107, verses 1 through 8. Oh, thank God, He's so good. His love never runs out. All of you set free by God, tell the world. Tell how He freed you from oppression, then rounded you up from all over the place, from the four winds, from the seven seas. Some of you wandered for years in the desert, looking but not finding a good place to live, half starved and parched with thirst, staggering and stumbling on the brink of exhaustion. Then, in your desperate condition, you called out to God. He got you out in the nick of time. He put your feet on a wonderful road that took you straight to a good place to live. So thank God for His marvelous love, for His miracle mercy to the children He loves.
From the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 20, verse 16 verses. God's kingdom is like an estate manager who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. And they agreed on a wage of $1 a day and went to work. Later, about 9 o'clock, the manager saw some other men hanging around the town square unemployed. And he told them to go to work in his vineyard and he would pay them a fair wage. They went. And he did the same thing at noon and again at 3 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, he went back and found still others standing around, and he said, "Why are you standing around all day doing nothing?" They said, "Because no one hired us." He told them to go to work in his vineyard. And when the day's work was over, the owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman, "Call the workers in and pay them their wages. Start with the last hired and go on to the first." And those hired at 5 o'clock came up and were each given $1. When those who were hired first saw that, they assumed they would get far more. But they got the same, each of them, $1. And taking the dollar, they growled angrily to the manager, "These last workers put in only one easy hour, and you just made them equal to us. Us who slaved all day under a scorching sun." And he replied to the one speaking for the rest, "Friend, I haven't been unfair. We agreed on the wage of $1. Didn't we? So take it and go. I decided to give to the one who came last the same as you. Can't I do what I want with my own money? Are you going to get stingy because I'm generous?" Here it is again, the great reversal. Many of the first ending up last, and the last first. Here ends our scripture reading. May, with the guidance of God's Spirit, we receive the message intended for us this very day. Friends, you know that life is full of surprises. There's a certain woman who decided to surprise her husband at his office. Know what she did? She bought a new wig. She put on dark glasses and walked into his office asking, "Is there room in your life for a woman like me?" "No way," he replied. "You remind me too much of my wife." Now, I'm pretty sure that her surprise was bigger than his. Now, also imagine the surprise of the business executive on a long vacation who, while he was reading his hometown newspaper, came across his own obituary. Now, he was shocked and angered. He immediately called the editor on the telephone. "I'm calling about the report of my death in your paper yesterday," he exclaimed. There was a long moment of silence. "Oh, yes, sir," came the nervous reply. "And from where are you calling?" Surprise endings. We just read a story with a surprise ending told by Jesus. Now, we can classify this as a kingdom story, God's kingdom. And Jesus offers us glimpses into the mind and heart of God by telling stories like this one. Now, the parable of the laborers in the vineyard tell us more about God and what you and I can expect from God. It's not about the vineyard. It's about something else. In the story, it was near the end of the season when the grapes were ripe in Palestine. It was a race against time. It was important to harvest the grapes before the heavy rains came to spoil the crop. Now, in this particular story, there were not nearly enough workers, while many would-be workers were standing idly on the marketplace. Therefore, during the course of the long day, the owner went back and forth to and from the marketplace to hire more workers to get all the work done before sunset. All normal, no problems. But the trouble actually began at quitting time. The surprise ending in this story of Jesus is that all the workers received a full day's pay. A full day's wages, while some of them worked only part of the day. Just imagine, even those who worked for only 1 hour during the cool of the evening received one silver coin, exactly like all the others. And the workers who had worked all day in the hot sun looked on in amazement. Those who were first on the job could not believe their ears and eyes. This was not fair. If the owner paid a silver coin for 1 hour's work, then he should definitely pay much more for those who worked all day. Well, that was their logic. They were not only disappointed, but they were actually outraged. How dare the landowner pay them the same amount as those who had worked fewer hours? It was not fair. They felt cheated. Well, that was exactly the point that Jesus was making. Obviously, he was not talking about harvesting grapes at all. The parable of Jesus gives insight in and teach us something about, guess what? The grace of God. He teaches us something about the grace of God. And amongst others, Jesus was talking about people who had loved and served God all their lives, compared to others who first lived far away before coming to God. Jesus says that God does not provide people according to what they think they deserve. God is different. It has to do with a God that owes you and me nothing. Nothing, nothing. He talks about a God who is generous, who is kind, who is loving to all. I wish I could say that was all, but that's not all. The story has far more depth than just that. Jesus also made it clear that it is altogether impossible to achieve the grace of God. We cannot work for it. We cannot pay for it. We cannot even earn it. But the workers in the vineyard expressed their outrage. These last worked only 1 hour, they said. You've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Well, they really laid it on thick. And the landowner in the story was surprised. I did nothing wrong. I don't think it was a pleading response. Maybe a little bit of anger. Hey, I did nothing wrong. I promised you all one's day's wages, and I'm paying exactly what I said I would. And he then turned to one of the disgruntled workers and said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Of course it was true. He paid them exactly what he promised them. The landowner did not cheat them in any way. He did no wrong. And then he asks them a real interesting question. Am I not allowed doing what I choose with what belongs to me? And suddenly it all becomes clear. This is the crux of the story of Jesus. This is what you and I have to know and understand about the grace of God. God's grace is a gift. Always a gift, no matter whom we are or where we are on life's journey. The benefits of faith in God are the same. The world, as you and I know it, is obviously speaking towards its final consummation. And many Christians act as if they have it all and they know it all, no one else. They conveniently choose to ignore what theologians call challenging texts in the Bible. Instance, in John 10:16, Jesus says, you need to know that I have other sheep in addition to those in this pen. I need to gather and bring them too. They'll also recognize my voice. And then it will be one flock, one shepherd. How convenient for you and me to call ourselves the alone proprietors of God's grace. How easy to say that we are alone right and all the others are wrong. The German theologian Karl Barth permanently influenced Christian thinking and theology with this statement. In the German he said, Gott ist der Ganz. Andere, translated, God is totally, totally different. God is a parent who does not give according to what we think we deserve. God is grace. No matter how hard we try, we are never, ever deserving of God's grace. It's a gift. That's what it is. That's what it was. That's what it will always remain. It does not matter how long or how hard we work. We can never earn God's love and God's acceptance. Oh, yes, there are many who wish it were not so. There are many who still believe that they are on a first-name basis with God. If you give them a chance, they will tell you what God thinks. They seem to think, how dare anyone else about beyond my thinking, my church, the ways of my church, whatever, how dare others claim the same benefits that I have kept so conveniently in store just for ourselves. Obviously, God's thoughts are very different from ours. Half a century ago, I sat in a seminary. We were taught that we were alone right. No one else. We were given the definitions, and woe to those who did not follow those very specific definitions. There was no room for them in the kingdom of God. Oh yeah, we were taught to decide who's going to enter God's kingdom. The sins of my youth, believing that, that's one of them. Obviously, God's thoughts are very different from yours and mine. And sometimes I wonder, we've met many people in our lives. Could it possibly be that the outcasts and infidels, whom we so easily judge and write off, is closer to God's heart than you and I ever imagined? Where does this parable end? The surprise ending is a loving invitation to all here. You are included. You are specifically included. And all those everywhere outside God's kingdom. It echoes through the ages. God's grace is also for you and for me. It's not for us to decide who should have it and who not. What's more, the story of the surprise ending is also a renewed loving invitation to all those who yearn to be part of God's future, God's kingdom on earth. Even now, even this very morning, the same Jesus said, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn, says the Bible, to live freely and lightly. That is the universal story of God's amazing grace. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Amen.